Have you ever wondered what it is like inside a hospital? Wondered what the inside of an operating theatre looks like? Wondered what endoscopy, physiotherapy and paediatrics are all about? Well, you can find out when St Peter's Hospital opens its doors on Saturday the 6th of July for its Community Open Day. Discover more about our local hospital and all its activities. And what's more, it's all free.
Now that I do love.
Everyone is invited, so come along between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and Radio Way will be there too. Car parking is also free, so what's stopping you? Pop along this Saturday and find out more.
And a very good morning. You're listening to Radio Way. We're here at St Peter's Hospital in the reception area for the very first Open Community Day. We're playing lots of records and lots of requests, and we'll be out and about around the wards. If you're listening in the wards, a very good morning to you. You can pick us up on our bedside speakers. If you're over there at Ashford Hospital, the bedside unit, listen to Channel 1. And if you're listening online, you can also pick us up on radioway.org.
In the Postgraduate Centre, where there is also lots of displays taking place, there is a VIP reception taking place at the moment with the chairman of the Trust, Andy Field. We'll be going in there and meeting some of the VIPs that have been invited along to today's Community Open Day. In addition to that, we have got here stands from the military. We'll be talking to those. In the meantime, let's play the music.
In the library at the moment, and Andy Field is now talking to the VIPs.
Explaining what we do, and very exciting, up on the next level, we've got a stand on our development. We've got the money to for a new urgent and emergency care centre, which we'll start building next financial year. This financial year, we're going to build a multi-storey car park out the front, which will cause all sorts of issues. Sven and I are prepared for all the letters. But the net outcome will be much better parking at Ashford and St Peter's. So that'd be absolutely wonderful. So now, being part of the local community is important, and Lord Mawson here is helping us out on that. Now, we need to understand more about our role and how best to engage with the local community. And Lord Mawson's got a wonderful CV on this, starting way back in Kingston on Thames. Then in Bromley by Bow, fantastic engagement with the local community, and latterly with Well North, and Well North Enterprises are supporting us now in this venture. Now, I mentioned the football club. Now, the team not only won the league this year, but the FA Vars, and a day out at Wembley, and it's just, again, we're just great to have these things here, and football is really, really important. I can say back in my military days, back in 1982 or 83 it was, my unit won the Wilkinson Sword of Peace for Anglo-German relationships. And I can tell you, it was all built on beer and football. and with the local community. So football is really, really important. And also important, of course, for getting young people out, getting fit, getting them gainfully employed in that way. So a really special part of today is our signing of the military covenant. Well, this is all about us engaging with particularly the veterans and getting people into work when they leave the military, supporting the military. And as I've said, I'm ex-military. Suzanne is ex-military. Our deputy chief nurse is ex-military. So I leave you to draw your own conclusions on the military takeover of Ashford and St Peter's. Just before we do sign the military covenant, I'd like to hand over to Richard Woolley first to say a few words about that, and then Colonel Ashbourne as well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Colonel. We've had, a year of looking at how we deliver the Armed Forces Covenant in Ashford and Peters. We've been getting involved with a Step Into Health, which is engaging people to come and join the NHS from the services, and also we're now looking at local community. We're now looking at a veterans aware hospital, so we can actually get some more data to find out what our community is made up of our veterans, long-term and short-term veterans, so we can plan their care better. Obviously today has been a build-up working with Southeast RFCA, which we've got Kate Lowe, which is representing the Armed Forces Covenant, which is sponsored by Servca and that. We've got Colonel Ashbourne, who's the commanding officer of 256 Sittingfield Hospital, which gives us a lot of support. And actually, we've got a leadership day in July, which we've got 25 members of Surrey Heartlands going away and doing some really good value-added stuff. And also, we've got 396, which is our local new signals detachment down in Chertsey, and we've got the local cadet forces here as well. So actually, we are linking in. Obviously, we've got some of our veterans here as well. We've got Jan here as well. she's in red, but no black hat. But actually, everybody who have served, you know, who's served even half an hour in the armed forces and comes out, they are classed as a veteran. Yes, it doesn't mean obviously we've got. So what we'd like to do now is, if we have a couple of words from Colonel Ash, reference our certain our commitment to you guys as well.
Okay. I'm in context. Okay, this trust. I probably know more than most trusts. So, Step Into Healthcare. Suzanne was very, really kind and allowed me to spend a week with the trust. So, time with Andy, and I spent time with all the directors. And I was really privileged to be allowed to have complete freedom. So, that, first of all, shows a level of trust that you have in us. You know, for you as a chief exec to say, just go everywhere you want to, Ash, and then come back and tell me what you think. So, reflective practice, like it, in action. Could have been risky. But actually, I was really impressed with the way this trust approaches its connection with the community and its wider context, obviously, to the armed forces. So me personally, I'm very grateful for what you did for me for 1 week. It gave me a really great insight. It gave me an insight into the way this trust works and thinks. The people in this trust really care about their patients. They really care about the community. So I'm about to start a project with the director of workforce and OD in London, looking at the implementation plan or the long-term plan. And when I read the implementation plan, I went through like what we in the military we call lines of operation, actually the things you have to do and the boxes you have to tick, and volunteer, community, armed forces, veterans, you are ahead of the game. You're already in the community. You already use your volunteer force as part of your workforce to improve patient care. You already reach out to the veterans community. You already reach out to Step Into Healthcare and supporting those people leaving the armed forces who bring valuable skills and can use them in a certain way, but you understand what they can do. So for many trusts that I've visited in other areas, they don't yet engage to understand what a veteran can bring, somebody from the armed forces, what skill sets they have. So they may not put them in the right area to maximise their potential and their talent. And managing that talent is really key for successful trust. Because the workforce, everything I've looked at, if there's one thing you look at, it's the workforce, which is absolutely key to making a trust work. Valuing your workforce, retaining that workforce, valuing those people, all the other things don't matter if your team, your workforce don't matter. And the armed forces, we're all about team and team ethics and leadership. And I see that in this trust as well. So I'm really, really proud to be part today to sign the covenant, just to show that you're committed to us and we're committed to you. I'm not going to come and nickel your staff. Okay. But of course, if you want to join us later, I've got some cards. But what we do is that soft stuff we do is we've got already people in the trust who are now able to get courses paid for by the five Ministry of Defence that helps with your budget, because we will pay for the whole cost of education, master's degrees. We also allow people to live a life that's different. So what we do is white space, I think, is really important. So the time that you give to the people that work in your trust to go and do something like adventurous training, learn to ski, climb a mountain, sail a boat, just experience something, gives them time away that recharges their batteries. I've got a friend who works in a trust in the south. He's one of my consultants. He does 10% and he's staying with that trust at the moment because he was thinking about leaving that trust because he felt that he could do some of the stuff that was ticking those boxes with us that kept him with that trust because the trust had let him to do it. If the trust doesn't allow their people to experience these other things, they'll go somewhere else to find that experience. So retaining your workforce, we're part of that team. So I see it's a partnership and a relationship, and relationships are so important. So I just want to thank you for your support to us, and I look forward to this partnership being official and staying for my time with yourselves and for my successor with you. So thank you very much indeed for your support.
Thank you.
So now they are going to sign the covenant between the local military and the hospital trust, and we'll be chatting to a little few of the guests that are here shortly, but let's go back to some music. Well, we're now in the Postgraduate Centre and various displays here, and I'm joined now by Sue and Bieber. Hello.
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 And Tissue Viability is your group. Now, tissues to me mean things like Kleenex, but I'm sure that's not what we're talking about, is it, Sue?
No, it's not. So we're talking about tissue, which is skin. We are the wound specialist nurses, so we look at treatment of complex wounds and prevention of things like pressure ulcers. We see diabetic foot wounds, leg ulcers, pressure ulcers, surgical wounds. You name it, any sort of wound, and we will deal with it.
And these wounds can happen in any ward?
Any ward, any age. So we might be in neonatal intensive care in the morning. We might be in an elderly care ward in the afternoon. We may even go into theatre and help the surgeons to apply more complex dressing. We may be in ITU.
Now, you're talking different wounds. You've got actually some visual examples here. Now, there's a sort of like, let's describe it. Certain buttocks, I think, is the best way, would you say, or medical term?
Well, we do. We have a medical model with some wounds on a buttock. It's actually called Seymour Butts. It's an anatomical model based on a 74-year-old gentleman's bottom.
Oh, right. Now, what has actually happened here to cause that wound?
So we've got some pressure ulcers. We've got some stitches here. We've got some moisture damage. So a few little wounds on that.
And so this could, what would have caused that with the patient?
So with pressure ulcer, that's caused because there is a lack of oxygenated blood to the tissues. That's normally from being in one position for too long. So the tissues get almost squashed between the bone and the surface you're on. So that can happen mostly on the bottom or the buttocks, but it can happen on the heels and any other bony prominence on the body.
Now, I know there was a campaign here in the hospital called End PJ Paralysis, which is basically getting the patients out of their pyjamas and out into the day clothes. Things like this would help?
Absolutely. The most important thing, the most protective thing to prevent pressure damage happening is actually keeping yourself mobile. So lack of mobility is the biggest risk factor in developing pressure damage. So getting up and moving, ending PJ paralysis, and getting back to your normal function, your normal activity is really important for things like pressure ulcers.
And the other thing here I see on the stand is a JWC Award 2019 awarded to you two ladies. What was that all about?
So that was for our Heal SOS, that's our Heal Strictly Off Surface campaign. That campaign was to reduce the pressure ulcers on heels that happen in the hospital. And we managed to, with our campaign and all we did for education and some different aids we use, to reduce pressure ulcers on heels by 35% from one year to the next. So we were highly commended in the Journal of Wound Care Awards, which is an international award.
And you ended up getting
the third place.
And that's a national or international?
International.
We're going worldwide.
It was worldwide. Yes.
Well done, Sue. Well done, Bieber. Thank you very much. Thank you. So we're now out in the upper car park here at St Peter's Hospital with various emergency vehicles, ambulances, and there is also the Surrey Police Force here. And I'm joined by
Sergeant Robert Betts.
And your role?
I am the neighbourhood sergeant for Runnymede.
Okay. So here locally, what are you doing here today?
So we're here today just to show a presence of the local neighbour team, to engage with the public and provide any sort of service or questions to anyone that turns up.
And the type of vehicles you've got here, you've got I think a couple on display?
Yeah, so we've got two of our marked police vehicles that are all sign written. We've got the blue lights and sirens, which the kids love to get involved with. We've got some hats for the kids to dress up, and the shield, or the adults, they like to get involved too. just to show basically what we do day to day and answer any questions and be a point of contact should anyone need anything.
And with crime at the moment, what's the main things people need to worry about at this time of year?
Well, I think the question really to be answered is that, you know, we're here to support everyone, and when it comes to crime, it's very general in terms of burglaries and vehicles. It's about keeping people safe, so that's really what we're here to do, is give that advice. So locking cars, keeping windows shut, especially with the heat at the moment. It's very easy to open windows and then forget, and when you go out, you know, it gives, you know, burglars an opportunity to basically target your house. So that's the sort of advice that we're sort of giving.
And let's just clarify about the phone numbers. There's obviously 999, but now there's 111. What's the difference between the two numbers?
So, Surrey Police, we have 999 is for emergencies, and 101 is the non-emergency number, and that is for anything that you don't think that you need police right now. Again, you're not penalised for calling if you don't know. We'd rather you call if you need the police, but that's the difference in the numbers.
And it's happened the other week, ringing 999 to say there's no nuts in your takeaway. It's not really the thing, is it?
No. it's very important that the right people are getting through, because, you know, it's lives at risk at the end of the day. So
if you need the police or you need any emergency service, it's 999.
Yes, please.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you. So let's also wander over now to the ambulance service, and let's see if I can catch up with Gary. Is it Gary here? Hello. I believe you're the man in charge here today from the ambulance service. They are delegating all over the place with the microphone, so shortlist Gary. So Gary, your role here in the ambulance.
I'm an operational team leader. So I work down the road at Ottershaw, which is classed as Chertsey Ambulance Station.
So what happens when a 999 call happens? How does the Ottershaw branch get involved?
Well, we don't tend to be there much. We're already out doing other emergencies. So it comes through on our radio. We look to where it is, look to see what the job is. We go mobile. We have a 7-minute response time to get there. And that's for any category one calls. So they're the classes, the life-threatening calls. We get there, get on scene and treat.
And obviously here we have got the proximity of the M25, so I guess you cover parts of that as well.
Yes, so we do the M25 down to the A3. We go to the M3 as well. We can be involved all the way into London, over towards Berkshire, down into Hampshire. And because we're South East Coast, we're Surrey, Sussex and Kent.
All right. So, and also the addition to that nowadays is there's all sorts of backup services. So you could be on the motorway. What suddenly indicates that an air ambulance is needed?
It's normally the severity of the patient. If there's multiple blood loss, multiple casualties, depending on the type of injury, we would then ask for a specialist crew, which would either be HEMS or one of our critical care paramedics to turn up.
Right. And so, kitting out on the hospital, on the ambulance, what is the general layout of an ambulance nowadays?
So we have the stretcher, and it can take up to 350 pounds. So it's got a good weight. It's got rugged wheels, so it can carry us over certain types of terrain. We've got our different medicines, and they go from pain relief to medicines to help with heart conditions, heart attacks. We've got specialist scoops, which help with RTCs, entrapments. They help with spinal immobilisation movements. We've got all sorts on there. It's like a mini A&E.
Right. And then when you come here to the hospital, I believe...
We do. We've got PCI, so anyone that's having an occlusion in one of their coronary arteries, so they're having a heart attack, someone that might be having a stroke, will go straight to HAZU, and they can be treated and dealt with there.
That's great. Okay, thanks for joining us here today. Thanks, Gary. So there we go. That's the ambulance service and also the police service as well. And there is also St John Ambulance as well. So now what we're going to do is go back inside. And in fact, hang on a minute. We believe we have got Ben O'Connor here, who is our sports commentator here on Radio Way. And he's rather proudly holding a certain trophy. So let me just catch him. Hello. Hello. Let me just quickly say hello to Ben. Ben, what is it you're carrying here?
I'm carrying the... trophy for the Combined Counties League, which Chertsey won quite handsomely.
Yeah, we know they won that, and they also won something else, which I think they've not allowed you to carry.
They've not allowed to carry that because that's a national trophy, which is the FA Vars. I was very lucky to be there commentating on, and they fully deserve to win. And the lady opposite me is looking extremely proud.
So is it her role for the whole year to carry that trophy and keep it at home?
No, I think it's... Is it Councillor Norman's wife I'm facing? Yeah. Were you at Wembley yourself?
So, an experience of a lifetime?
It was indeed, and especially for the young lads who were playing. I can't imagine what it must have felt like for them walking out onto Wembley Stadium. It was fantastic for them.
That's right. And so, the coming season is going to be fantastic for Chertsey?
Yes, they've gone up a league, so hopefully they'll do well and stay up.
And we'll be there commentating on a few games as well, I'm sure.
Good. Thank you.
There you go. Thank you very much. Let them take the trophies back to a secure place and we'll continue with the music.
Well, now we're back here in the main reception at the Community Open Day here at St Peter's Hospital, and I'm here with three people who are governors. Now, I know the hospital's a foundation trust, but Danny, what are governors all about in the hospital?
We are governors to officially make sure that the non-exec directors are behaving properly, but we're the ones that ask the questions why and why not.
And do you get the answers?
Usually, yes. This is a fabulous trust to work for because we do get the answers. And I have spoken to governors almost all over the country, and we are one of the most open set of people to talk to all the time.
So how many governors are there actually?
28, I think, yeah.
And how are they formed? How are they elected? How are they chosen?
We have five staff governors throughout all the disciplines of the hospital. There are six appointed governors who are from Royal Holloway College, Surrey University, Surrey County Council, and then three of the boroughs round here. And then the rest of us, and it's Woking and Guildford, Runnymede, Elmbridge and Spelthorne, and we are voted in by our constituents, and the constituents have to be members of the hospital, but then we are voted in by the public.
So when you say members of the hospital, anybody can become a member of the trust?
Absolutely, absolutely. You don't have to actually live within the catchment area. If you use the hospital for anything, you can become a member.
And is there a joining fee?
No, it's all free.
Okay, so how do you become a member? Let's, Bertie, can we ask you that? Roberta, how do we become a member of the trust?
We fill in a form which gives Anu, who looks after us, our details, and then she will keep you up to date with what's going on, members' events, and how to get hold of you, and take it from there. So it's as simple as that. You can take a form today. You don't even need to fill it out today, but you have to promise faithfully that you'll put it in the post if we let you get away with that.
All right. And then obviously they'll sign up, they'll get members events. So what happens at members events?
Members events are absolutely fabulous because they're about a particular topic, maybe cancer, maybe eye care, and you come along and you hear what's going on in the trust, and you get doctors, nurses and all the allied professions who are involved. And great.
And then the council, or the, is it the council or the board? What is the group? The council. So how often does the council meet?
Well, it depends whether you're talking officially or not officially.
Well, let's go official to start with, Dan.
It's officially four meetings a year, plus probably another four to prepare for those four meetings. But we three are in and out of the hospital all the time.
All right. So let me turn to Kenneth, who's the Keith. Keith, the eyesight's going already here, Keith. So you're the public governor for what area?
I'm the governor for Woking and Guildford, which is a very large area to cover, and I'm one of three. So I sort of come between the public and the hospital. That's sort of like a common description of the role of governor, to represent the needs of the people who live in my area, as well as the official line which Danny's already given you to hold the non-executive directors to account.
So, Keith, how did you become a governor? What was the path?
Well, I first became a member, and it was almost as soon as the Foundation Trust came into being. So very soon after that, governor elections took place, and I saw the advertisement, and I was a few months off retirement, and thought that this was something that I could do, given my working background in the NHS and in health charity.
And what has surprised you about the governors and the trust?
I probably haven't had too many surprises. One big surprise is the change actually in the hospital, a big change for the good over the years. And I think that's down very much to the commitment of everybody who works here. It's really been not say pulled up by its socks. It was good, but now it is very good indeed. And as I go around, I hear lots of thank yous and how well people have been treated.
The team spirit is excellent here, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
Okay, well, Keith and Danny and Roberta, thanks for joining us. I hope you get lots of people joining the Trust today. Thank you.
I'm over here with
Nicola Oliver,
Who is running the fundraising for the charity here, aren't you? Can you give us a little insight into what the charity does?
Yes, what we do is we raise funds to be able to buy additional equipment and to make things a little bit more enhanced in certain areas. We have lots of different projects going on at the moment, and if you'd like to help us with fundraising in any way, can I give you my telephone number, which is 01932 726 585. That's 01932 726 585. If you'd like to help us fundraise, please do get in touch. Thank you.
Can you tell us about any particular projects that your fundraising campaign is running at the moment?
Yes, indeed. We have quite an exciting project that's just kicking off. We're going to try and create a wellness area within the trust for those people who've had cancer and who've just had chemotherapy, a place which is comfortable, with a nice seated area where people can just chat, get counselling, get advice, and sometimes get complementary therapies to get rid of some of the nausea and just the de-stressing areas. And it's so important that cancer patients have somewhere to talk, to get advice. And so this is what our next thing is going to be. And we're going to sort of create a lovely, comfortable area with a kitchenette and various things going on. So if you fancy helping, give us a ring. Thank you.